Triple J. Welcoming to the studio, Andrew and Ben from MGMT. Woo. Hey, dudes.
Hey.
Hello there. We were just discussing off-air tattoos, actually, and Ben and I both share an owl tattoo of sorts. That's pretty cool.
Of sorts.
Yeah. Yours doesn't have bat wings for a start, like mine.
Anatomically correct.
Oh, that's. Do you like all your tattoos to be anatomically correct? Is that one of the things with you?
I only have one tattoo, but it is anatomically correct.
Well, then all of your tattoos would be anatomically correct.
That is correct.
Great.
That is correct.
Andrew, do you have any tattoos anatomically correct or otherwise?
I have a tattoo, but it's just a word on my chest.
Oh, what word is it?
Real.
Ah. Yeah. That's to so you people can differentiate between all the fake Andrews out there.
Yes.
Only by the tattoo.
For a future when the robots take over.
The not too distant future. Awesome. Well, first of all, last night was a great gig. Thank you very much for putting on just a couple of very small shows.
Yeah, we had fun.
Yeah. Is it fun playing like all the new songs up against the old songs?
It's still a little bit tricky just because a lot of people in the audience don't know a lot of the new stuff. And you can tell they're just like waiting to hear Time to Pretend and Kids.
Yeah.
And so like someone threw a water bottle at me during the 12-minute song.
Yeah, that was I'm so glad you played Siberian Breaks. That was awesome. Because at the start of it, I was trying to work. I know this song. This is one of the new album. And I was like, oh, this is that one. That's great. How long did it take? I mean, getting bottles thrown at you aside by some very rude people. How long does it take to learn to play a 12-minute song?
It didn't take as long as we thought it was going to be like, oh no, we're never going to play this song live. But it really, I mean, it's pretty simple. It's not like, it's pretty straightforward kind of melodic, folky, poppy stuff. So it's not like there's like all these crazy time signatures. So it didn't take very long to figure out.
Yeah. Great. And tell us about the people in the band. Specifically, I mean, you've got your bass player behind you, Ben, and on drums, and then you have that amazing man Hulk on guitar and keyboards and percussion over to stage left. Who is that wonderful gentleman?
That's James Richardson. He is our guitarist / multi-instrumentalist.
He's wonderful.
Yeah, he's great. He really... all the guys, James, Will, and Matt, are just really good buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And
you mean this is like the first band that you guys formed to play the music?
Yeah,
yeah. We started playing with a live band like right after we recorded the first album, and kind of had to fabricate a band from nothing.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to have our friends play in the band with us and. I don't know.
Cool. And they're just people that you met at college or just friends?
The drummer we went to college with, and then the bass player used to play in a band with him, a different band. And then James, the guitar player, was
found
childhood friend of our old guitar player who left the band.
So. Right.
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. And this is the band that they helped put together. Congratulations as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what is it like recording with a full band compared to Oracular Spectacular, which was, of course, just you guys?
Well, I mean, Ben and I still wrote the songs for this new album, pretty much just the two of us. And, you know, we originally set out to do this album, like, we want to do a lot of the tracks full live band recordings.
Yeah.
So, yeah, first we went to upstate New York and wrote some songs up there. And, the general kind of way things would work is we would have a song and kind of demo it and then bring it to the rest of the band and to Sonic Boom, and we would kind of flesh it out and just keep recording stuff. And
cool.
They would turn into something else.
And it certainly did. Let's have a listen to one of the tracks right now. In fact, from the album. This is the one, if you looked at the blog today, you will see the video clip. It's in fact, Max from work the other, just about 2 hours ago, just goes, have you seen the video clip for Flesh Delirium? And yes, we have. It's amazing. Check it out. From Congratulations, what was the working title for that song, Andrew?
For, about 8 months, we were calling it Muppet Disco.
That's, and listening to it now, you can tell. That's great. And it's just funny, you guys played last night with, it was just you guys live pretty much for the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole show. I mean, we used drum triggers, well, a triggers on his snare and kick on a couple of songs, but there's no backing tracks or anything.
Yeah, yeah. So with an album like Congratulations, how long does it take? You said it doesn't take long to learn to play the whole of Siberian Breaks live, but to turn that whole thing around, was it easier to play that live because you had the band in the studio than it was to teach the band Oracular Spectacular?
Yeah, it was definitely a lot easier because we were thinking about this album more in terms of a band, even though it wasn't, we didn't record it all live playing at the same time, except for a couple things on the album. The first album was like, you know, we didn't really sound like a band that was all playing together. It sounded, you know, more electronic.
Two guitar nerds in a studio.
Yeah.
Which is, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But this album, congratulations, you told a newspaper in Australia that no one's offered you any congratulations for this album yet.
We did? Oh, that's probably sarcastic.
Well, I want to say congratulations because I reckon it's awesome. It's not only awesome because it's a really great sounding album and it, you know, obviously, you know, goes down all these paths that of music that I really like, but also because you've managed to polarize so many people. Like,
we really weren't trying to be controversial or anything.
Mm.
I think it's kind of weird to see people turn it around like that and say that we're intentionally trying to lose fans or even that we intentionally made a bad album and that people are like, if people like it, then they're actually, then we've tricked them into liking it, even though, but we think it's bad. Like some people think that it's like,
yeah, but didn't really you say, weird. Didn't you guys used to say that your music is bad? Didn't you used to have like poll posters and stuff saying MGMT make bad music?
When we started the band, we were really trying to make bad music.
But those are songs that no one's ever heard, like Tires or He's Got Stuff or...
He's Got Stuff is a great name for a song.
We have never recorded it, but we've had the idea for like 5 years.
We really want to do it with Jennifer Harima from Royal Trucks.
Who we heard on that song.
Yeah.
Having a sing in the chorus.
It's just about a guy who has a lot of stuff, really.
Have you comprised a list of the stuff, or is that part of the song?
Not yet.
No.
That'll be the verses.
We know the chorus, The chorus is...
The lyrics in the chorus are, I know guy's got a lot of stuff. I really like all the stuff that he has.
That he has.
Oh, so it's a song about envy. It's one of the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. It's very biblical.
Wow. But then the verses will kind of go on to detail this catalog of stuff.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, we're saving that one for...
Yeah, that's good. That's album number three.
That's the big time.
Yeah, we've got that one.
In the bag.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm talking to Ben and Andrew from MGMT, in case you couldn't work it out. Well, you know, He's Got Stuff is a great potential lead single off...
Thank you.
..the new album. You know, the album has yet to be recorded and written. But what's it like telling a big record company that you've got no singles?
Well, we didn't really say that.
It was kind of like... we had a meeting where it was like... they were kind of coming to us like, so what song do you think you'd want to be the first single from the record? And we're like, well, we don't know. What do you think should be the first single? And we couldn't really decide. And we just kind of went back and forth for a while. And none of us really knew what to do.
We just wanted to put the album up on iTunes like overnight, right when we handed it in.
Mm-hmm. And let everyone hear it straight away.
Just be like, oh, we have a new album out. Just go check it out.
We have a lot of stupid ideas.
Yeah.
And that album, that idea didn't float with the record label?
No.
No. That's one of those ideas where they're like, oh, yeah, that would be cool. And then they don't. They have meetings about how stupid of an idea it was.
They don't invite you guys to those meetings.
No.
That's the private meetings. Mm-hmm. We like your idea, and we've had a better idea. We're going to release it and make people pay for it.
Yeah, because we're a business.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, I guess, when you are... You know, you want as many people to hear your music as possible, but then you have to play by some rules, I guess.
Yeah, it's all about compromise, you know.
I've got to say, the album does. I know I talked to you, Andrew, about this. That it seems, you know, how people get stuck in this second album syndrome stuff, but then you guys didn't seem to affect at all.
We're just so oblivious to everything that
it's a blessing.
How do you stay oblivious to it?
It's more like, why don't we know what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if we are in an enviable position or not, but it works.
Not like
somehow.
That guy with his stuff.
No.
That's an enviable
that
position.
That guy. Wow.
He's an enviable guy.
Yeah. We should come up with the name for our third album at some point during this.
I keep forgetting. We've come up with so many in interviews. I always hear these phrases that sound like great album titles, and then I forget them.
Like an enviable guy.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Right. I'm talking.
Sounds like a Roxy Music album or something.
It does. No, Brian Ferry singing I'm Just an Enviable Guy as a cover. Was that John Lennon or Brian Ferry? Or was it both of those guys, I think? It would be great. I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm sorry that I made you cry. I'm just an enviable guy. Don't hate me because I got heaps of stuff. All right, yeah. On Triple J, we're talking to Andrew and Ben from MGMT. And listen to a couple of news, a couple more songs, and then we shall talk some more. I want to find out about the Van Halen workout. Andrew and Ben from MGMT are in the studio, and you guys worked with Kid Cudi. That's great.
Yeah, we went. He was finishing working on his recent album, and we went over to kind of try to make a song, and it didn't really work out. But he played us some of his stuff, and we really liked this song, Pursuit of Happiness, and we got to sing over it. So.
Cool.
It's cool.
And can you hear your voice in the mix?
A little bit, yeah.
That's great. Now, I want to talk a bit more about when you guys were at college, because we've actually just launched this thing. It's for younger people. It's called Unearth High, and it's for kids in high school who are getting bands together and stuff, and we sort of go around the country and, you know, handpick them and find cool music and stuff. But you guys, when you were at college, it's fair to say, weren't playing the same sort of music that MGMT makes now.
Not really, no.
Like, there was this... I basically want to know about the Van Halen workout.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was actually... that was a part... When we originally wrote Kids, there was this section that sounded kind of like Van Halen
Jumps.
Scoring a workout video. And it was like the activity section of the song.
That's where we would play the song live and then just go do something during that section. Like
dismantle the drum kit.
Well, last night, that's what we did, yeah.
That's right. This is, if you missed the show, and I'm sorry to keep talking about this show, because there wasn't too many people there, it was full, but it's a small venue, so you may not have seen it. It was you guys just singing along to like a karaoke version of Kids.
Yeah, that's how we've always done it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I saw Weezer do it with, they had like four keyboards.
Yeah, and they actually perform it. but...
That's cool. We'll never be that good at performing our own song.
You should just get Weezer to do all the songs that you can't be bothered doing.
That'd be fine. That'd be cool.
But yeah, so in the workout version, in the Van Halen section of Kids, where you dismantled the drum kit yesterday, like as in, not as in a big rock star turn, you actually packed it up.
Yeah, we want to extend that part of the song so that we can actually dismantle the whole stage and just be like completely loaded out. Because I think that would be cool.
That would be very cool. And as you just finish the chorus, you step into the tour bus.
Yeah.
And leave the venue.
Music's still going. See you later.
Yeah, if you see a guy running after you with the CD. Oh, yeah. You need this. What else have you done during that bit of the song?
The first time we played it, we simulated an ice hockey game with sound effects and hockey sticks and a tennis ball. And then... what else to do? We ran away a couple times and just didn't come back. We had a giant battle with giant tree branches that we spray painted hot pink.
So that came about in college. You guys must have been like, what do people say to you guys in college about your music?
They thought it was fun.
Yeah,
we had fun. We had a lot of fun.
I guess it wasn't a fancy college. It wasn't like a sort of a get down and work college.
No, it was. It was both. It was you know, I think the brochure said that. We study hard and we party hard or something like that.
It's like a
work
movie.
Hard, play hard.
Yeah, exactly.
And which did you guys err on the side of?
I think we did both. We made good grades and we studied. We wrote papers. We learned how to play instruments that we've subsequently forgotten how to play.
What sort of instruments?
Drum, West African drums. I could still probably play that all right.
Yeah.
But Ben used to play, what, sitar?
No.
No. He did drumming too, right? Soca too.
Did yeah. South Indian.
Can you do a little
percussion? I can't remember.
Just do like one phrase.
I really can't remember how to do it. I wish I could. Oh, man. It's not like riding a bike.
It can't be like.
I don't remember how.
Okay.
You can't remember that. Was it like not a paradiddle or anything? Something.
No, it's like all these syllables that you put together into rhythms, and it's supposed to teach you how to drum.
Also, it's like a beatboxing thing.
Yeah, for South Indian drumming. It's a South Indian beatbox technique.
which is going to also be on the third MGMT album.
That should be the name of the album, South Indian Beatbox Technique.
It sounds like a kind of bad electro jam band.
It's a late 90s London underground electronic CD.
Do you guys force yourselves to listen to do you get to listen to a lot of music that may not be on the radio and stuff just to try and spread your boundaries a little?
We don't listen to much new music, really. Unfortunately, but we are pretty well versed in a lot of music from that period.
That period?
60s.
What sort of stuff? What other sort of stuff?
For this album, we were listening to this band, The Millennium, and a band called Euphoria from Texas.
Good names.
And we're 13th Floor Elevators and Captain Beefheart and...
Of course.
Red Crayola, Electric Prunes, Pretty Things.
Yeah. All right. Okay. On Triple J, it's almost time for the news. Andrew and Ben are in the
boring
studio. The news. Oh yeah. No, this news is good. Actually, no. You know what? Yesterday on the news, there was a story about a dude who survived these horrific fires yesterday. Last year, and he survived them. And you know, there's a lot of bad stuff happened in Australia in bushfire related, as does happen in America. Yeah. And then yesterday, he got attacked by a wombat. So, you know, I mean, which is not the wombat's fault.
It's kind of like the most Australian thing that can happen to you, I think.
Yes, it is. It is what I spoke to a lady from Wires, the wildlife sort of rescue agency this morning, and it's not that uncommon.
Really?
Nasty animal to get attacked by, isn't
it? You wouldn't think, because they don't seem to move very much.
But they seem like if they got pissed off at you, then they could do some... They've got big claws, right?
Yeah, and teeth and stuff.
Sucks, man.
Yeah.
See, wasn't Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life a wombat?
He didn't look anything like a wombat.
No, but he was so nice.
He was supposed to be a wombat?
I think so, yeah. I think that gives a really bad... I think kids will kind of... that have seen that show might come up to a wombat and try to talk to it or something, you know?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess the anthropomorphization of animals.
Whoa, jeez.
Oh, you're good college graduates.
Yeah, no, but that's like...
I know a little thing or two about anthropomorphism, especially about the cartoon world surrounding...
Anyway. Yes, would you like to elaborate?
I've seen some pretty far out
like Fritz
stuff.
The Cat sort of stuff?
No.
No, there's some... there are some internet phenomena.
Yeah.
What, cartoon
people
animal
draw
porn?
Like... Yeah, but people... It gets really weird, like... Spiders getting head from a squid, and
you know, you know now. We're gonna play a song. We're gonna get the news. No one's gonna be listening to the news because everyone's gonna be on the internet looking up spider and squid porn.
That's the problem with the news these days.
Yeah,
don't squids have beaks, or is that octopus?
Oh, they have
they
beaks.
Do. Yeah.
All right. Okay. We're gonna
and they can do things with those
yeah.
beaks.
They have beaks.
MGMT are in the studio in the country for just a couple of days. There's not you mentioned, Andrew, you got to do some surfing, or did you actually get in the water?
I did it the other day before yesterday, but I did a couple of days ago.
Right.
Up at Narrabeen.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I've surfed at Narrabeen badly.
Yeah. I'm not very good.
Right. What sort of board do you use?
Usually, I've been on the whole most of the year a 9-foot board, like a thruster.
Yeah. They're easier.
But I'm going shorter now.
You're right. You're moving down to the trick boards and stuff. Oh, that's good.
The modern collective. Surfers. Surfing is now above the wave and not really necessarily on it.
You've been reading up? Who told you that?
I have my sources.
Your surfing sources. Ben, are you much of a wave lover?
I love them, yeah.
What are you doing to relax?
He likes huevos, eggs, rancheros.
Yeah.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Like a breakfast omelet.
He loves it.
Thing. Burrito.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah, good.
You're talking about me. I'm like...
Yeah,
I'm
you're right. You're right.
Right here. Sorry.
But it's appropriate that I mean, obviously, you recorded in Malibu, the album, and you're getting into surfing, but there is this surf sort of like West Coast sound coming through compared to, I guess, the fact that you guys are from the East Coast. Mm-hmm. But you wrote it on the East Coast.
We wrote it on the East Coast and the West Coast, both bi-coastal.
Can you listen to the songs and tell which coast they're written on?
Well, let's see. It's working. Congratulations. Most of Flash Delirium. Those are all East Coasters.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dan Tracy.
Brian Eno was kind of an East... Well, it was East and West Coast.
Well, that's because it sounds like a beachy Ramones song, and the Ramones are from the East Coast.
New Yorkers, so...
Yeah.
There's a beach
like
in...
Like Rockaway Beach.
Yeah. I go to Rockaway.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've never... Ramones wrote a song about it.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
It wasn't a very complimentary song.
Yeah, Rockaway Beach. Rock. Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
That one.
Yeah. But isn't it just about getting drunk and... Passion girls or something, or getting bashed by girls.
It wasn't about surfing.
How is it that you write? Is it just guitars and keyboards in a studio?
It's like how Bach wrote songs, I think. It was just a piano and a Les Paul.
Mm.
Yeah.
Acoustic and piano mostly.
Yeah.
And then maybe some synthesizers, like the Korg Monopoly. Or sometimes I'll play drums, Ben will play piano. And then we'll kind of be like, it inevitably sounds like really shitty when we do that because it's just like drums and acoustic piano. Like, I feel like you're in high school or something. So that's why most songs...
Excuse me, or in the Dresden Dolls.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay.
That's why most songs don't really make it past the initial stages of an idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many ideas do you reckon you got culled on the way to the 9 songs that made Congratulations?
I'd say 4.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Four ideas were culled during the making of this album.
Just 4. Every other idea was brilliant. But the album being so, you know, takes you down so many different directions and stuff. How do you, like, is it just stream of consciousness writing those ideas down, recording those ideas as they, you know, as they come?
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty, we're pretty kind of obsessive at each step. I mean, it's not really kind of like the thing where we write a song and try to get it out in some form or another. We kind of like start mixing and recording and producing it as we go.
Yeah.
So, like the songs weren't really done except for Congratulations. They kind of took a whole year to develop them into what they were in the end.
So how many different versions do they go through before they're kind of...
A ton, a lot. I mean, some of them, like Song for Dan Tracy, started off a lot faster. And we shifted it down and then recorded more over it. So it's just kind of weird things like that.
Yeah, I can imagine there'd be like a lot of, if you were to separate all the different tracks, you would find so much stuff buried that, you know, only repeated listenings would give you.
Yeah, for sure.
And is that your job, Ben, to sort of just go in there and just go crazy with the keyboards?
We all go crazy.
Yeah, there's not one person who goes more crazy.
All right, well, I'm going to play It's Working, but last time I talked to you, Andrew, you guys were in Paris.
Yeah.
Which is very, very nice.
It is. It's a great city.
Did you just go there for the video clip? And
That time we were, yeah. But we had played there about a week prior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On this promo trail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the video clip for It's Working, has it been finished?
No, we shot it. And it should be ready in about 5 weeks or something like that.
Okay. Well, what can you tell us about It's Working, the video clip?
The video?
It's about a crazy machine.
Yeah. That we build and then kind of it takes over. Does lots of different things, like make ice cream. And it, what else? It's a lot cooler than it sounds.
This is the piano and drums version of the video clip.
Yeah, exactly. Dresden Dolls version.
All right, let's have a listen to it.
Just kidding. We really like the Dresden Dolls.
Yeah, no, they're tops. All right. Amanda was actually in the country just a couple of weeks ago playing on the Opera House steps.
She went to our school, you know, Wesleyan University.
Really? She's a little older than you guys.
Yeah.
Right, was there a plaque or a statuette?
I don't believe so.
Hmm.
No.
Would you have played the same piano?
Ben and I made a sculpture one time called Leaf No Trace.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. It was an anti-war protest sculpture. It was like a, wasn't it like a?
There was this bush in the middle of the courtyard in our dorm, and we like.
It involved like a fake gun or something, didn't it?
Well, we put a bunch of stuff in the tree.
I
and
remember
then
it was really offensive.
There was a lot of masking tape involved that like went everywhere from the tree to these windows and.
Okay.
And then somehow people got offended by it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think there's an American flag with a peace sign on it.
Okay, but that's been happening since the 60s.
What the hell?
I think it was probably the masking tape, the gratuitous use of masking tape.
Yeah.
Not to mask, but to unmask.
Unmasking
tape. Unmasking tape.
Anti-war, anti-environment sculpture.
Yeah.
that's cool. Well, that's the subgenre that's never explored. The people that are anti-war but still anti-environment as well.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think littering is cool. I'm just going to go out and say it.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Someone's had the courage to say that on the radio.
I mean, you said something a lot of us have been wanting to say for a long time.
This is the silent majority. You are the voice of the silent majority.
I mean, like, when you see somebody just toss something, like, you know, at first you're pissed off, but then you're like, that guy's pretty cool. Like, it's like, you know, Fonzie would do that or something.
It's the ultimate freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there should be a new campaign to, you know, shake hands with a litterer. Yeah, flick a cigarette butt out the window. Shake hands with a litterer. There we go. That's it from MGMT. That's the official
title of the third album.
Let's listen to something. Let's listen to the first track of the second album right now, though. It's working. You can imagine the video clip. There's a machine. It's littering.
Ice cream.
And there's ice cream. It's littering ice cream everywhere. And it's just...
Oh, and I get dressed up like a schoolgirl.
But you guys have got another special mobile phone gig tonight.
Yeah. We're hoping you get some phones.
I saw that. Don't you get free stuff? Surely you guys just get littered with free stuff. Like an illiterate litterer.
Yeah.
Let us not belittle the little literate litterer.
we've been talking whilst the song was on, I'll admit. We weren't listening the whole time. We weren't listening. We were belittling illiterate listeners. Not listeners. But this is like two shows in Australia. You were here at the start of last year, which was tops. But is there plans to come back soon?
It probably won't be until 2011.
Really?
The year of the boar. No, that's this year. Isn't it? Psych. Psych. Who knows anymore?
No, I don't know.
We'll be back, though.
Yeah, full schedules, though, I imagine.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. Is it fun? Like, you're still enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. Imagine. Yeah.
And do you get time to relax? Are you relaxing the surf? You relax?
We're relaxing right now.
Ah, so you know that now every radio person's going to think, awesome, I got MGMT, and they can just relax for an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is. You can just tell.
And also, you guys are contributing to a David Bowie tribute album.
Yeah, I read that somewhere.
That's awesome.
I guess we need to record that song.
Because it's funny because we never
said yes.
We'd do it.
Right. Well, we said that we were so busy we didn't think, and now it's like I'm reading articles saying we are. So that's cool.
Well, you know what? I mean, if things are manifesting just from you saying it, maybe you should just say you've recorded it.
We've tried that before. We said that
maybe it'll actually just be done.
We always get invited onto people's private yachts to to go on vacations, and they pay us lots of money, and that never manifested either.
Really?
No.
You're not too far from the harbor right here.
Yeah.
If anyone does have a private yacht, I've tried that before. Well, there's only me. But if there is a private yacht and you're looking for something to do post-mobile phone party tonight...
It's just further proof that positive thinking will get you
nowhere. Don't people get tired? You know, it's like you get a yacht and you're like, the first couple months, you're like, hell yeah, I have a yacht. And then it's kind of like just sits there at the dock, you know?
Yeah, and it's expensive. You gotta keep it clean.
If you have a yacht that's just sitting there, why not invite us? And we'll just, you know, we can do watercolors. We can make fresh pretzels.
You can make fresh pretzels. Oh, they'd have an oven on the yacht, wouldn't they?
Yeah, we could use actual sea salt.
That's brilliant, which you could just scrape off the side.
It's no problem.
That's really easy. All right, well,
They eat barnacles in some countries, you know?
They do. Do they?
They do, yeah. I saw that on Travel Channel.
Huh? When you were relaxing.
Not much meat, but really scrumptious.
Yeah, really salty, I imagine.
Yeah.
And a little bit of boat paint, I would imagine.
Why not?
Cool. I'm glad we finally reached this point in the interview. This is the perfect point to end our chat with MGMT. Andrew and Ben, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And on your very on your short Australian trip, and we'll see you guys next time, I imagine.
Yeah.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.